We know that most sports, particularly some of those here in Australia, can leave some of the players susceptible to concussion, which, if not dealt with properly and accurately, can lead to long-term brain injury down the road. Someone that has a very vested interest in this is Dr. Adrian Cohen. He's from Head Safe at the University of Sydney, and he actually studies concussion. Good morning, Adrian. Let's start from the very basics. Concussion, what is it that we're looking to recognise when someone on the sporting field does a copper whack to the head?
Well, ultimately, Mark, we have to understand what concussion is to be able to spot it. So clearly there's got to be an impact. It doesn't have to be the head. It can be to the body or the chest, say in a tackle in our football sports. And as a result of that, the player suffers a number of consequences. Now, it's obvious to everybody when they're knocked out that that happens less than 5% of the time. Far more commonly, after the impact, they may stagger to their feet. They may see stars, hear noises, feel like they're in a fog, not be quite right, be nauseated, they may even vomit. So some of these things are symptoms that the player will complain about, and some of them are signs which the trainer or the physio or doctor will actually see. The key in concussion is recognising there's been an impact, which means literally having eyes in the back of your head, being able to see the whole field, which is fine when we're watching a televised game with seven angles, but not so easy when you're in a community sport. So you've got to be able to recognise it, and you've got to be able to attend to the player and remove them from the danger, get them off the field.
Just going back to how we started that discussion, Adrian, obviously if you're knocked out or you really, really look like you're in a bad way, easy to identify that, but I guess a lot of people are having those, for lack of a better word, minor symptoms, and then they just go, hey, I'm all right, I can get up, take a couple of deep breaths and I can go again. It's that if people in that space, we want to get them off the field. How long then should we recognising before they can actually make a return to the game?
Well, the key is firstly recognising the signs and symptoms, and players who are motivated to stay on the field will tell you they don't have any. So subjectivity is a real problem in this. We need objective tests. Now, across the board, there are no firm recommendations on how long it's going to take to get better because everybody's different. It's a very individual condition, concussion. What we do know is after you've had one, you're more likely to get more, and the symptoms and the duration of symptoms are likely to be more in each case. So concussion creates more concussion. As a rule from World Rugby, for instance, if you're under 19, you have to have a minimum of 2 weeks rest, followed by a minimum of 5 days, so 19 days in all, if you're under 19, before you can go back the sport. Now, that five-day period is the graduated return to play. When you start your physical exercise, you increase your heart rate, you start adding in the skills on the second and third day, you go into contact by the fourth day, and by the fifth day, if everything's fine, that's when you should be signed off by a doctor who knows concussion before you can get back on the field. If you're over 19, it's 1 week followed by 5 days. In other words, 12 days minimum. They're the general rules, but it's different for everybody.
Okay, so there is at least some mandatory time off the field and away, which is obviously a good thing. If it sort of goes untreated and if you keep going and you keep getting hit, what are some of the long-term implications of being concussed on a regular basis?
Well, we should be clear that that mandatory rest period is only in rugby. In AFL and in NRL and in our community football and
they have nothing.
Football, exactly. So it's up to the individual doctors who know about it. And so there's no real rules, and therefore we can't actually get to any stage of saying we're doing the right thing because we simply don't know it. So there are short, medium and long-term consequences. In the short term, yes, you might be able to get back to school or work or play. That may be prolonged into what's called post-concussive syndrome if you take more than 14 days to recover. And that happens with some of our footballers that we see now that are taking longer and longer to get back into the code, like Bernard Foley for the Waratahs. And the longer-term consequences of repeated brain damage, whether or not you've had the big hits, the big knockouts and been reported for concussion, or whether it's the accumulation of multiple smaller sub-concussive hits that add up over time, those damages cause ultimately early dementia. They may have emotional components with depression. We've sadly seen a number of suicides in players as well. And they can lead to chronic neurological impairment. Now, after you've died and your brain is looked at under the microscope, we see a condition which is now called chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE. And in the recent study by Anne McKee and her group at the Boston University, they found 110 of 111 brains examined, former NFL players had CTE. So that's basically 100%. What was more shocking was that in college and school players, that figure was about 80%. And very sadly, in players, they had three players under the age of 25. And they had a rate of about 40%. So, you know, it's out there. It happens. Whether the damage is great or the damage is small, inconsequential, and may not even be seen. And the secret to dealing with this is to recognise and to be able to test people appropriately.
With a bit of luck, a conversation might be started in that space, Adrian. It would be good if we could get some turnaround there, and particularly in those codes and sports in Australia that has no mandatory rest period. Just very quickly before I let you go, I mean, why do you think that is still the case and why we're not there yet?
Well, the science hasn't been there yet until now. So we've actually developed a device called the concussionometer that actually measures the brain's electrical activity. It's not about remembering the name of the Prime Minister or what day of the week it is or what's the score. It's just like when your car doesn't work. You stick the electrodes across the terminal. We do a baseline and can tell what a player is normally like. And after an impact, if that's different and they've got signs and symptoms, we can make a diagnosis of concussion. And by the same token, when it returns to normal, we can say they are safe to return to play. That's where the future is. Less short-term problems, less long-term problems.
That sounds like the way we should be moving. Adrian, thank you so much for your time today. And if you're heading out for a bit of sport on the weekend, do what you can to stay safe, particularly for the long term. That is Dr. Adrian Cohen talking about concussion in sport from the University of Sydney's Head Safe.